Part 1. A Troubling of the Waters. Chapter 1. Sometimes they are really dead. Wilmington, Colony of North Carolina, July 1776. The pirate's head had disappeared. William heard the speculations from a group of idlers on the quay nearby, wondering whether it would be seen again.
"Nah, him be gone for good,"
said a ragged man of mixed blood, shaking his head.
"The alligator don't take him, the water will."
A backwoodsman shifted his tobacco and spat into the water in disagreement.
"No, he's good for another day,
two maybe. Them gristly bits what holds the head on, they dry out in the sun, tighten up like iron. Seen it many a time with deer carcasses."
William saw Mrs. Mackenzie glance quickly at the harbour, then away. She looked pale, he thought, and manoeuvred himself slightly so as to block her view of the men and the brown flood of high tide, though since it was high, the corpse tied to its stake was naturally not visible. The stake was, though, a stark reminder of the price of crime. The pirate had been staked to drown on the mudflats several days before, the persistence of his decaying corpse an ongoing topic of public conversation.
"Jem!"
Mr. Mackenzie called sharply and lunged past William in pursuit of his son. The little boy, red-haired like his mother, had wandered over to listen to the men's talk and was now leaning perilously out over the water, clinging to a bollard in an attempt to see the dead pirate. Mr. Mackenzie snatched the boy by the collar, pulled him in and swept him up in his arms, though the boy struggled, craning back toward the swampish harbour.
"I want to see the alligator eat the pirate, Daddy."
The idlers laughed, and even Mackenzie smiled a little, though the smile disappeared when he glanced at his wife. He was at her side in an instant, one hand beneath her elbow.
"I think we must be going,"
Mackenzie said, shifting his son's weight in order better to support his wife, whose distress was apparent.
"Lieutenant Ransom, Lord Ellesmere, I mean,"
he corrected with an apologetic smile at William.
"We'll have other engagements, I'm sure."
This was true. William was engaged to meet his father for supper. Still, his father had arranged to meet him at the tavern just across the quay. There was no risk of missing him. William said as much and urged them to stay, for he was enjoying their company, Mrs. Mackenzie's particularly. But she smiled regretfully, though her colour was better, and patted the capped head of the baby in her arms.
"No, we do have to be going."
She glanced at her son, still struggling to get down, and William saw her eyes flicker toward the harbour and the stark pole that stood above the flood. She resolutely looked away, fixing her eyes upon William's face instead.
"The baby's waking up. She'll be wanting food. It was so lovely to meet you, though. I wish we might talk longer."
She said this with the greatest sincerity and touched his arm lightly, giving him a pleasant sensation in the pit of the stomach. The idlers were now placing wagers on the reappearance of the drowned pirate, though by the looks of things, none of them had two groats to rub together.
2-1, he's still there when the tide goes out.
5-1, the body's still there, but the head's gone. I don't care what you say about the gristly bits, Lem, that there head was just a-hanging by a thread when this last tide come in. Next one'll take it, sure."
Hoping to drown this conversation out, William embarked on an elaborate farewell, going so far as to kiss Mrs. Mackenzie's hand with his best court manner, and, seized by inspiration, kissed the baby girl's hand too, making them all laugh. Mr. Mackenzie gave him rather an odd look, but didn't seem offended, and shook his hand in a most republican manner, playing out the joke by setting down his son and making the little boy shake hands as well.
"Have you killed anybody?"
the boy inquired with interest, looking at William's dress sword.
"No, not yet," William replied, smiling.
"My grandsire's killed 2 dozen men."
"Jimmy."
Both parents spoke at once, and the little boy's shoulders went up around his ears.
"Well, he has."
"I'm sure he's a bold and bloody man, your grandsire,"